What are the similarities between the founders of Islam and Mormonism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can purchase The American Muhammad by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The American Muhammad, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
I mean, there's only one faith that kills you or wants to kill you if you draw a bad cartoon of the prophet. There's only one faith that kills you or wants to kill you if you renounce the faith. An ex-Muslim is a very dangerous thing.
In an attempt to make Christianity as appealing as possible to as many teenagers as possible, there was a tendency to dumb down the faith, to turn it mostly into a place to belong and feel good.
That's the whole point of the pulpit. It's not about you. It's about the preaching of Christ crucified.
Western New York State Independent Baptist pastors love Issues, etc.
I remember coming to this realization, serving in the parish a couple of years after graduation from the seminary, that a better way of thinking about the people who were not in church on Sunday morning were not people who didn't come. That's the common way of thinking about it. People didn't come to church. I began to try and think of them as people who stayed away. And you'd be surprised how people respond when you say, "What's keeping you away from church?" Because the Christian's natural place is in the house of God, gathered around God's word and his sacraments, Sunday morning. That's where they belong on Sunday morning. And a Christian has to stay away from that. What is happening on Sunday morning where a Christian no longer needs to see it as an obligation, but as a gift? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 23rd of April. We're going to be talking about the gift of worship here for the first half hour, and then in the second half hour of the program, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. We'll be talking about marriage and the church, the challenges that we face, why we can't simply say in the face of the cultural redefinition, the legal redefinition of marriage, what does it matter to us? We Christians still believe in man-woman marriage. What do we care what happens in society? Why we can't, as a church, say that? Joining us to talk about the gift of worship, Pastor Brady Finnern. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Sartell, Minnesota, and he's author of an article in the forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled Gifts to Give. Pastor Finnern, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be on the show.
What do you think is a major obstacle for many people in attending worship?
Well, I mean, that's a complex question. I think it really comes down to, in our culture, we ask the question often, is it worth my time? And so we'll evaluate whatever we do based upon, is this worth my time? If the sermon is going to be exciting, if the music is going to be up to my liking, if friendliness of the people will be there, then it's worth my time. If it's not worth my time, if the pastor maybe is kind of boring, or the music isn't what I like, or the building isn't what I want it to be, or the people aren't really friendly, or whatever list that we have, whatever litany that we have, we tend to say, well, it's more worth my time to go to the coffee shop, or it's more worth my time to go here, or more worth my time there, which in essence a lot of times makes us look at worship as a burden of my time as opposed to a gift.
I mean, and it's not always the trivial things that we think are more worth our time. Sometimes it's serious, important stuff that we might say is more worth our time. You have a story along these lines. When you were a student at the seminary, your job then was to study.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a story about you skipping chapel.
Yeah. Well, as Paul says that, you know, God came to save sinners, of whom I'm the foremost. He was definitely talking of me. I have a confession. I skipped chapel a lot during my seminary days, and it's because I'm one who's recovering of seeing worship as something worth my time. So the story goes, I was a fourth-year seminary, you know, close to being a pastor, thinking about call day and all this stuff, kind of walked around campus like I was something else. And I get out of class, and I'm standing next to one of my good friends who who also was going to the same place as me, and we were walking by chapel in St. Louis, and the bells were ringing, and people were going in, and as we were walking, it was pretty obvious. We both knew we weren't going to go because we had something more important to do, which was study. I hadn't studied enough the night before. I had one child, a newborn, and, you know, go through the whole list of what things I needed to do. So I wanted to get a cram session in. So I'm walking past chapel in St. Louis, and as you're walking, you're kind of looking down, making sure no one sees you, hope no one says anything to you, that kind of stuff. And because I thought it was more important for me to go and study, that the worship would have been a burden because I had something better to do, or I just didn't see it worth my time. So I'm walking past with my friend. We're going to go to the library, and we're going to study. And as we're going, we see a professor, who was actually Dr. Norman Nagel, and at this time, was walking vigorously, even in his 80s, he was walking vigorously towards chapel. And when we saw him, we didn't really know him, but everyone knows who he is. He didn't know us, and we said, "Good morning, Dr. Nagel," and he slowly, and I can't do an Australian accent, he looked at us, and he pointed to the chapel as he was vigorously walking and said, "God has gifts to give." And then we walked past, and he went his way. And I remember looking at my buddy, and we said, "Were we just convicted, or were we forgiven?" We were unsure about what exactly had just happened there. But never had I had somebody. Usually, people say, "Hey, where are you going? You should be going to chapel," or "Hey, what? You know, where else would you be? That's more important than here." A lot of guilt-driven stuff. But he said it was a gift.
So. Now with the benefit of hindsight, what do you think he meant to say to you?
Well, he was basically telling us that God has given the greatest gift, which is Jesus, and he gives us means by which to receive Jesus, to have that gift given to you of forgiveness and grace and all that kind of stuff. And it's right in there. Like, there it is, the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, Jesus Christ, right there for you. You know, he didn't point us to, like, what we were doing or what we weren't doing. What he was is pointing us straight to the cross, pointing us to Jesus and saying, "There it is. It's all for you. I don't really care what you're doing. I'm not going to try and make you feel guilty for that. There's Jesus. There he is."
So let's talk a little bit about, let's finish your story.
Yeah.
Do you remember whether you passed, you failed? Does any of that stick with you?
Well, first of all, we skipped. The best part of the story would have been if we would have turned around in repentance and went and received the gifts of God. Well, we didn't do that. We still went in there, and we studied for, I think it was like 20 minutes only, and from what I can remember, I didn't do real well on that test, and probably not much better than if I would have just went to chapel itself. So I definitely failed in the realm of receiving the gifts, but also didn't do really great at the test either.
What's the difference between it's chapel time, kind of, in essence, you must go, or it's Sunday morning, you must go, and God has gifts to give?
The difference is that when you see it as burden, you're always going to have a test of what's effective. So is the pastor up to my liking? You know, is he good? Are the people good? And you go through this whole list when you see it as you have to go there, this is a burden, this is, you know, you have to be there. You always go down the list of, is this the way I like it for us pastors when we visit other places? You know, would I do it the same way? You know, is this the way that I would do it? Is this going to be worth my time? And you go through the list, and it's almost an impossible list to live up to every single week. You just couldn't do it. You might not like this hymn. You might not like that hymn. The people stood at the wrong time, whatever it might be. So it just kind of, it's a burden on you, and there's stress involved, and it's just, it's not a gift. It's not free. It's like a cost. But when you go and you enter those doors and it's a gift, what you see it as is it doesn't matter as much as the effectiveness of the pastor, but is he giving you Jesus, the free forgiveness in Christ? is the body and blood of Jesus coming to you? Is the people around you fellow sinners who are repenting also in the name of Jesus? It is the Holy Spirit coming to you, and you're not worried about how effective it is. What you're worried about is the message of Jesus there, and if it is, it is all gift. It is all right there, as it tells us in Ephesians that you have been saved by grace through faith, and it is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. It has nothing to do with you or the effectiveness of the people. It has to do with Jesus and his work for you.
Here's what somebody's going to say. They're going to say, Pastor Finneran, it sounds like what you're saying is, yes, I should go to worship because that is where God is giving out the gifts of forgiveness. That's where all the good stuff is. I don't really exactly feel that, Pastor. So maybe I should wait until I really got that joy to go in my heart, because otherwise I'd kind of be faking it. Well, how do you respond?
Well, here's the reality. Us as pastors, there's a lot of times we don't have the joy of the Lord when we walk through those doors either. And so if that's the case, might not have us show up very often either. It's the gifts of God are not about my emotions, are not about what I'm feeling inside. It's everything to do with what we need, which is forgiveness. When Jesus forgave the man who was paralytic and they lowered him down into the floor, the first thing he did was not fix his paralytic, but he went and he gave him what he needed, which was forgiveness of sins. So if we think it's about our emotions, we forget about our sinfulness. So it's, number one, you're a sinner. Go receive those gifts and thank God for receiving those gifts. And, you know, if you feel good after that, praise God. If you don't, the gifts are still there.
When we come back, we're going to pick up right there. We're talking about the gift of worship. Pastor Brady Finneran is our guest, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Sartell, Minnesota, author of an article in the forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled Gifts to Give.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. There are two subjects that we often talk about here on Issues, Etc. One is international Islam. The other one is, of course, Mormonism. And you might not put the two together. You might not draw a line between those two dots. But there is a line in fact, several lines to be drawn if the two dots that you're talking about with respect to Mormonism and Islam are their founders, their self-proclaimed prophets, Joseph Smith and Muhammad. That line is drawn very well in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism. It's written by Dr. Alvin Schmidt, a regular guest here on the program. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The American Muhammad, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about the gift of worship. Pastor Brady Finnern is our guest. Pastor Finnern, I want you to pick up where you left off on the other side of the break, talking about the feelings. Someone says, look, I've listened to you. I understand what you're saying. I get it. I went to church. It didn't feel like a lot of gifts. I believe what the pastor was saying. I know what he was saying. But it didn't feel like it. Was it still worth my time?
Say, well, did you hear words of forgiveness? Did you hear Jesus? And hopefully they say yes. They should say yes. And say, well, you came in a sinner. You've left a forgiven sinner, and that's more than worth your time.
What about someone who says, look, when I go to church, that's not what I get. Those gifts aren't there. I hear a lot of I hear a lot of more burden. I wonder whether it is worth my time to go and hear the pastor tell me, do this, don't do that, give me a few rules for living.
Right.
What would you say?
Well, first, I would have them talk personally to their pastor and talk to them about the joys of forgiveness, the gift of Jesus and needing to hear that as a sinner, and talk to them about that. And if the pastor is like, you're right, I should be doing that more, then, you know, kind of walk together with that. If your pastor in the church is committed to not giving those specific gifts which God has given to his church to give, then you have to look where those gifts are being given in a faithful way.
You write this, in your baptism, you have been given the free gift of Jesus Christ. That means that everything that's associated with him is also free, including, and here are the things that we think about as obligations, prayer, reading the living and active Word of God, rejoicing in those words. Most of the time, we view all of those things as, in some sense, as an obligation. Are you saying that none of them are?
None of them are. No, they all come straight from the hands of God. They are for you. They are they're free. They point you to the forgiveness of sins, which is what I need every day. It is, and it's kind of funny. I remember growing up and really seeing prayer as kind of a burden. You know, I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad's a pastor, and I remember sitting there during prayer time and just thinking, oh my gosh, how much longer is he going to pray? You know, what's going on here? And a lot of it is because I didn't think about God doing the action. I thought of my father doing the action, you know, the praying, the singing, all that stuff. And really it came down to is when we pray that we are, in essence, laying this at the feet of Jesus, and he is giving the gifts according to his grace. And so whether you do that for 5 minutes or for 20 minutes, we have to keep reminding ourselves that it's literally like God bringing salvation right down to us when we're in that Word of God, even if it's 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and you're reading lineages, that God is giving that, and the Holy Spirit is basically overwhelming you, coming in you, going around you, everywhere you can imagine. There it is. So it's this is amazing thing that God does. He comes down to us, not us up to him, and he just kind of feeds us, whether we feel it, whether we like it, it just comes. And that is an amazing thought when you think of it that way, when you come to worship him on Sunday or whenever you worship.
Does this also apply in a different way from worship, from the means of grace, from preaching and the sacraments? But does it also apply to the rest of your life, to your daily life in your vocation? Should we view that also as the means by which God has gifts to give us?
Absolutely, absolutely. As we are forgiven, as the world has been redeemed by Christ, you see everything in the world as a gift that God has given. I know this is particularly happened for me at my congregation, is I think there's a tendency that you think of people when they kind of frustrate you, or when things don't go the way it should go, or whatever list of things. When you see people as kind of like not living up to your expectations, well, they're going to be seen as a burden eventually. Maybe not one day or the next day, but eventually. It can happen to your family and so forth. But when you see them as redeemed by Christ, as forgiven in Christ, just like you as a sinner, then God has put them in front of you, and they're a gift. Same with your house, same with your job, same with your family, hopefully your neighborhood and everyone else, that for whatever reason, as God has redeemed it all and has done all the work for us, he continues to give his gifts through people, through your jobs, through everyday activities.
So the simple stuff, like getting up out of bed in the morning to take care of those kids of yours.
Right.
Are you saying, in a sense, you kind of hear the voice of Dr. Nagel saying, God has gifts to give. Get up and make breakfast.
Well, when my kids are getting up almost every night around 2 a.m., I have to almost tape his voice, I think, to hear that. But yeah, you do have those simple reminders, and I'll never forget that. When Dr. Nagel did that, he gave me a gift, because it not only extends to me when I come to work or when I come to receive the gifts of God and worship, but everything I do is a calm voice, which actually is the voice of Jesus, is that this is all a gift. It's for you. It's from my hands. I love you, and I've done all the work for you. So here you go. Enjoy.
Someone's listening to us, and they're saying, I've never heard anything like this about worship, because I've been told my whole life that I go to worship to do something for God, that I go to give him something, and you're saying it's the other way around.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree again. It's basically, if it was about what we bring to God on Sunday morning, we have nothing to bring. I mean, it's all we have to bring are filthy rags and our sins. I mean, just think about how frustrated God would be if that's what worship was about. I mean, he would be so frustrated so quickly, because we would give him something we thought was a diamond, and he would show us that it's just manure. I mean, we have nothing to bring him. I mean, nothing to bring before the throne of God. He has everything to give us and to change us with his gifts. And so that's what it's all about. If it's about you, we've lost what the point of the church is. It's about Jesus coming to you.
So go through that list, because it's not just kind of a generalized thing. You've mentioned them before in our conversation here, but it never hurts to repeat. Go through that list. What are the gifts specifically that God gives all who are there, that God gives on Sunday morning?
When we come into the sanctuary, his gifts that he brings is first and foremost the forgiveness of sins. When the pastor stands up and says, by the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you, he forgives, and he basically gives you Jesus right in the midst. You are made clean. You are no longer filthy rags. You are as white as snow, as it tells us. The forgiveness of sins, the message of Christ dying for you, is what he gives and gives, makes you a new creation. Things like baptism, when we're reminded at the invocation that we are baptized into Christ, meaning Jesus lives in, God lives in you and living and active. The Word of God itself, as it says in Hebrews 4, that's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That the body and blood of Christ, that Christ lives in you, and to have the reminder of prayer. And then the final blessing of benediction to show you that Jesus is not only going to be there now, but he's going to be with you as you go out when the gifts are out in the world too.
And to someone who says, or maybe they won't even admit it, I don't really feel a need for that, I'm fine. What would you say to them with about a minute here?
Well, I would definitely just point them once again to their sins. Something about how you say, do you break the Ten Commandments? Point them to that in some way to remind them of their need for God. Because that's part of the whole idea of why people don't go to worship, is they don't think they need it, because they don't see how sinful they really are. and that's where you have to hit them with the law at the appropriate time. Hopefully quickly, you hit them with the gospel and then point them once again that in the church you'll hear of your sin, but more so you'll hear of a gospel and the forgiveness of sins in Christ.
You spoke earlier about those words that Dr. Nagel spoke to you, and somebody once said this to me, and I've never forgotten. I want your thoughts on it finally here with only about a minute. When they say, why do you go to church? The answer was, it's the only thing that is keeping me a Christian. What do you think of that?
It's very true. We're always in a battle. The world is always trying, not always, but the devil in the world is trying to take us away from Christ. But we go into that sanctuary and we receive those gifts of God. It's almost like the devil runs away scared. You know, the world, you're filled with God. You're filled with that forgiveness of sins. You are just drenched in it. And really, you know, the gates of Hades will never overcome. And that's why you go. You keep going because the battle continues.
Pastor Brady Finder is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Sartell, Minnesota, and he's authored an article in the forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled Gifts to Give. Brady, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Matt Harrison will join us. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to talk about marriage and the church. Stay tuned. Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org, shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.